Welcome to the Words of Life program. Today, our speaker, Brother David Johnson, will use a familiar phrase found in 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26, in remembrance of me. Words of Life is presented by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want you to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. We pray that you'll be blessed as you listen today to our program, which includes songs of praise, prayer, and Brother Johnson's sermon. Through Jesus, God has given us the special privilege of talking to Him in prayer. Please pray with me. Lord, we honor Your holy name and we thank You for all of Your blessings. In the United States, we are at the time of year when we celebrate President's Day. Thank You for those who have given service and effort for the welfare of others and direct all governmental officials to be following You. Please be with each of our listeners throughout the world so that they will have health, peace, and convictions that honor You. Help each of our broadcasts to reach out to serve You. Bless each listener and each one who has a part in this ministry. We know that Jesus is going to call His own home at His appointed time. Please help us to be ready for Jesus. In the holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Brother David Johnson will now present In Remembrance of Me.
It's good to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is In Remembrance of Me. And our text is found in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. Please listen to the Word of God. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." This is the Word of God. May He add His blessing to the public reading of His Word. Many years ago, the Johnson family visited Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States, in order to see and learn about our capital and our great country's history. Two of the main attractions are the Washington Monument, in remembrance of George Washington, our very first president, and the Lincoln Memorial, in remembrance of Abraham Lincoln, America's 16th president, who by most accounts are our two greatest United States presidents. The Washington Monument is a great obelisk, which is a tall, four-sided shaft of stone, usually tapering, that rises to a pyramidal point. It is 555 feet and 5 1/8 inches high. The walls of the monument are 15 feet thick at the bottom and 18 inches thick at the top. The walls are covered with white marble. A cap of cast aluminum protects the top tip. Inside the monument, it is hollow. The inner walls are set with 193 carved memorial stones, many of historical interest. Lining the walls of the stairwell are the carved tribute blocks that declare such biblical phrases as, quote, "Holiness to the Lord, search the Scriptures, the memory of the just is blessed," end quote. Citizens planned a memorial to George Washington while he was still alive, but he objected to the expense. Work on the monument began in earnest on August 17th in the year of our Lord, 1880, and was completed on December 6, 1884. It is a fitting memorial, a remembrance of a towering patriot president and devout Christian, under whose leadership our nation was established as a republic under God. The Lincoln Memorial, in tribute and remembrance of our 16th president, is a magnificent white marble structure dedicated in the year of our Lord 1922 that resembles the Parthenon in Greece. It is a massive building, 80 feet tall, 188 feet long, and 118 feet wide. It has a great hall surrounded by 36 Doric columns, which stand for the 36 states of the Union at the time of Lincoln's death. The hall has three sections. In the center section, which is open in front, sits a huge statue of Abraham Lincoln. His famous speeches are inscribed into the walls. One speech portion inscribed is Lincoln's second inaugural address, which mentions God 14 times and quotes the Bible twice. Lincoln ended this speech with a lament over the destruction of the American Civil War. In his own words, listen to what he said, quote, "With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations." End of quote. Memorials, remembrances are important, lest we forget that which makes us a free and prosperous people as Americans. However, no remembrance, no type memorial can even remotely compare to what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stated. Do this in remembrance of me. That is to us especially as Christians. Christians that today include living on every continent, in every country, of every color under God. Our Lord, in comparison to the Washington and Lincoln memorials, left us a most simple and yet singular memorial in remembrance of Him and His incomparable achievement on behalf of the human race on the altar of the cross. Listen again to Paul's words, including Jesus' brief words that are recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Most conservative Bible scholars agree that the first Corinthian epistle or letter was probably written before any of the Gospels, written before Matthew, Mark, Luke, or the Gospel of John. Therefore, Paul's account here is considered to be the first biblical record of Christ's institution of his memorial supper, including direct quotations from Christ. "On the night he was betrayed" gives us the historical setting. So in the midst of evil, God foreordained remedy. In the midst of terrible betrayal, Christ was to accomplish redemption. Although Jesus was celebrating Judaism's Passover meal with his apostles in the upper room, neither the Gospels nor Paul's account here give all the details of that remembrance. These accounts instead focus on Jesus' establishment of the new remembrance that was to supersede the old. When Christ, as our Passover lamb, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, offered himself on the cross. The Jewish Passover supper memorializes and is a remembrance of the Israelites' exodus and redemption out of Egyptian bondage. The Lord's Supper memorializes and is a remembrance of believers' exodus out of the power and the penalty of sin's bondage via the cross of Christ. Of course, effectual to those who receive him through saving faith. The Jewish Passover meal began with the host, here Christ, pronouncing a blessing over the first cup of red wine and passing it to the others present. After the second cup was passed, the host would break and pass around the unleavened bread. It was the bread that had represented the Israelites' exodus. Christ adapted to represent his body. A scholar writes, quote, "To the Jewish mind, the body represented the whole person, not just his physical body. Jesus' body represents the great mystery of his whole incarnate life, his whole teaching, his whole ministry and work, all he was and all he did." End quote. The most impactful words in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24 toward mankind are, quote, "which is for you," end quote. Jesus Christ gave his body to ransom mankind from our sin bondage. The one and only unique Son of God basically stated in effect, "I became human for you. I suffered for you. I died for you." Of course, God's redemption in his Son through the cross, again, is only effectual through our saving faith in him and his work on our behalf on the altar of the cross. Whether an accountable human being wants and receives the tremendous benefit of Christ's atoning sacrifice is also his or her choice. But Jesus Christ offers it to everyone. He is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, the cumulative sin of the world, as according to the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 29. It was the third cup of the traditional Passover meal that Jesus blessed and that he adapted to become the cup of the new covenant in his blood. This was the Passover cup that had represented the lamb's blood smeared on the sides and the tops of the Israelites' door frames, as according to the book of Exodus, chapter 12, and verse 7. The old covenant was ratified repeatedly by the blood of animals by men, but the new covenant has been ratified once and for all by the blood of the perfect man. According to Hebrews in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and verse 28. The old deliverance was merely for Israelites from Egypt to Canaan, to the Promised Land. The new deliverance by the blood of Christ is for all who receive him by persevering faith, from earth to heaven. The new covenant is a saving covenant to which the Old Testament pointed. And the Passover, believers are gifted with in Christ, not merely being passed over temporarily by a destructive plague, according to Exodus 12 and verse 13. In Christ, believers pass over into eternal life with God. "Do this in remembrance of me" is a command from the very heart and lips of our Lord and Savior. We must be faithful to this remembrance of our Lord, who bought us, ransomed us at a great price, His body and blood. And not just any man's body and blood, but the body and blood of the fullness of the deity in bodily form, according to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. Remembrance here in the Hebrew mindset was not simply to recall what happened. It meant in one's mind to strive to recapture as much of the significance of Christ's sacrifice and mentally relive with Him His sufferings and death as much as is humanly possible. It's also about our continual fellowship rededication to Christ as obedient disciples or followers of His. In verse 26, it says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Emphasizing here that this communion with Christ in remembrance is not just for our own sakes. It is also as a proclamation for the world's sake, for mankind's sake. It is our testimony that we belong to Christ, are obedient to Christ, and that Christ's body and blood, His atoning sacrifice, is available to all who will genuinely receive Him personally by saving faith. The Lord's Supper is also a reminder to us and the world that He is coming again. It is a remembrance of Christ's past atoning sacrifice, but also of His future glorious return, physically, tangibly, eventually to this earth. Many are drawn to national history and great leaders such as presidents. However, in our communion remembrance, we are not drawn merely to an ordinance or a sacrament. We are drawn to our Savior, Jesus Christ Himself, in whom, according to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, which says in part, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We in Christ have been sanctified, made saints, positionally, set apart for eternity with our Creator. No president, no premier, no king, no chancellor, no prime minister can do that. Only the perfect God-man. So, dear listener, have you received Christ as your personal Savior through repentant faith? Confessed Him as Lord, and as Lord, obeyed Him in baptism, been immersed into Him? Are you persevering in your faith in Christ Jesus? Or do you need to rededicate yourself to Christ as Lord and Master? Do so today, for today can be the day of salvation or rededication.
We pray that you have been blessed by the sermon you just heard. To remember Jesus, you must first know him. Your salvation is of utmost importance. If we can assist you with information to help you, please contact us. For a free CD of this entire program, request broadcast number 2007. That's 2007. As we serve God by radio, we appreciate your comments and questions. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing.